Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Rioters or terrorists? Do we need a scorecard to tell the players? Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. Well, you know, the definition of terrorist is applicable to more and more people these days. Or is it? Is it going to be used for other groups? Today we're going to be talking about, you know, as I am talking to you right now, there are riots going on primarily in America, although there are some sympathy riots going on in other places around the world, like Berlin and London and Toronto. This all started with the unfortunate 911 call in regard to a black man in Minneapolis named George Floyd. And the 911 call sent out police to the area. And the reason why someone called 911 was because they claimed that George had passed or used a $20 bill, a phony $20 bill to buy cigarettes. I mean, you know, when you think about it, that this all started from some cigarette clerk thinking that he used, and maybe it was phony, but maybe, you know, counterfeit. But, you know, even if it was, we don't know that George knew that it was. So, I mean, when you think about how such a minor incident could cause these eruptions that we are seeing, everybody has lost their mind all over the world, but especially in America. So getting back to the terrorist concept, you know, we have let me finish with George Floyd in case you don't know the whole story about George Floyd. So they called 911, the police came, and several police came, and they dragged George Floyd out of his car, and they ended up, they used excessive force. And in particular, one policeman had his knee on George Floyd's neck for over 8 minutes. And George kept saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And then he was calling for his mother, mama. I mean, it's so sad. And this policeman just kept his knee there. You know, that's where our carotid arteries are, you know, the arteries, the big arteries that go to the brain, that provide oxygen to the brain. This is not a place you want anybody to be putting their knee for 8 minutes, 8+ minutes. And it was a rather hefty policeman. So George Floyd died. And after that, protests erupted all over in many cities all over the US. But these protests, there's nothing, you know, they were protesting police brutality. And indeed, that was justified because these policemen were, you know, did use excessive force and did cause his death for no good reason. And so it certainly is justified. And yes, this happens too many times that there's police brutality, especially against blacks and other minorities. And so this is all justified. However, What happened then was that these protests against police brutality quickly became riots and looting and attacks, you know, deathly, lethal attacks against the police and attacks from the police against pedestrians. There was one video that I just saw of police in New York who had a police car parked in front of a barrier, and there were rioters on the other side of the barrier. And the rioters were throwing, you know, plastic bottles and various things over the barrier to the police car. I mean, the police were not, they were inside the car, so they were not injured. And yet, apparently, at some point, the police had had enough, and they drove the police car through these pedestrians, through the barricade. It was about a 4-foot barricade, but through the barricade and into this crowd of pedestrians. So people have lost their minds. And amongst these, so the question now is, who are all these people who are amongst these groups all over who are causing the rioting and the looting? I mean, it started out with just protesters protesting police brutality. You know, Black Lives Matter were involved, but they weren't the only ones. And then people joined in to create violence. And there's the question of, there are different groups that have gotten involved, because some of these, you know, of course, now with social media, it's so easy to organize these kinds of riots. If you look on social media, there are things where, for different cities, where people who are organizing the riots are telling people who want to riot to come to, like, there was one, for example, just now in Los Angeles, the Glendale Galleria. In Los Angeles, when we had the Rodney King riots in the early 90s, it was pretty much all downtown. I mean, it was still pretty awful, but it was pretty much circumscribed, located in a particular area. Not that that makes it okay. But now it is going all over the city. As I think I said, they're on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. And I don't know where the police were. Rodeo Drive is not really that long. And yet police were nowhere to be seen in this particular video, where they were breaking the windows of the stores, fancy stores, totally just rioting in the streets, looting and rioting. And similarly in New York, on stores downtown in Manhattan, fancy stores, they were looting and rioting, running out of the stores with all kinds of goodies and creating all kinds of savage violence. So it's a nation out of control. It's in all, one city after another, over 30 cities. There's violence also that erupted near the White House. The National Guard has been deployed. The Secret Service has come out. One officer had his neck slashed. Another police officer was run over. I talked about it going the other way as well. It is just a free-for-all, because people are angry and they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. But it's not just being mad as hell about George Floyd. It has gone way beyond George Floyd, and it is just seen as an opportunity for anarchy. And so President Trump has called for a group. He said the United States of America will be designating Antifa as a terrorist organization. He wrote this on Twitter, and that's how he communicates. And because it's very hard to get a lot of the media to tell the true story. So Antifa is a movement in the U.S., a militant left-wing anti-fascist political activist movement. And they aren't quiet protesters. They are more about these tactics, such as what I was just describing, using social media to get people to come and attack things. Property damage, physical violence, harassment against those who they identify as fascist, racist, or on the far right. Basically, they're anarchists. And so President Trump has made a statement that he wants to formally call them domestic terrorists. And Attorney General Barr also issued a statement. He said the violence instigated and carried out by Antifa and other similar groups in connection with the rioting is domestic terrorism and will be treated accordingly. So that is what is going on now. Now, the general generic kind of definition of a terrorist is a person who uses unlawful violence and intimidation, especially against civilians, in pursuit of political aims. So if you use this generic definition of a terrorist, then it's not just radical Islamists who are terrorists, but you could consider calling a group like Antifa or the conglomeration of rioters and looters themselves, you know, who aren't necessarily in a group like Antifa, just the ones who have seen this as an opportunity to express their rage and to perpetrate violence and to steal some goodies at the same time, and wearing masks to have less chance of being revealed. Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk to you more about what is going on and the question of, have we lost our minds, or at least have some people lost their minds, and what does this have to do with coronavirus? Okay, stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. We're talking today about rioters or terrorists. Do we need a scoreboard to tell the players? Now, of course, we're talking about domestic terrorists, not radical Islamists. It's kind of like radical Islamists can just sit back. They don't have to do anything because we have coronavirus that already disrupted the US. And now we have the protests that have turned into riots and looting, the protests that started as protesting against police brutality for the killing of George Floyd. Now, George Floyd actually seemed like a really nice guy. I did not know him personally, but I have watched videos of him. And he, besides the videos of, I mean, that was part of it too, the videos of the police killing George Floyd, you know, especially the one policeman who had his knee on George Floyd's neck for over 8 hours. The videos, of course, went viral on the internet, and that really served to get a lot of people very angry. I mean, it was outrageous, really. Fortunately, the wife of the policeman who killed George Floyd, she is divorcing him. And he is in jail. He is charged with third degree murder. And that's another thing. I think he should have been charged with first degree murder. I think that's another reason why there are all these riots, because third degree murder just does not do it justice. So Corona rage is what I'm calling the feelings that we're having, that kind of like road rage. You have probably noticed this yourself, that because we have been locked down and isolated, and now told to come out with masks on and social distancing, it has caused us to lose our humanity. some of us, not all of us, some of us more than others, but there is a general sense, pretty much for all of us, there is a general sense that we are not relating as empathically as we once did. And so, you know, why I call it Corona rage is because it's like road rage. You know, when people have a short fuse and someone cuts ahead of them or doesn't give them the right of way, someone with this short fuse is, can express road rage. Well, we have been seeing examples. I'm talking about before the death of George Floyd. We have been seeing instances of Corona rage, meaning there have been instances such as in supermarkets where people freak out because somebody isn't wearing a mask and they shame the person and get in a group like a mob around the person to get them to leave the store. All kinds of things are happening where people are acting like with a short fuse, like it takes very little to set them off. So George Floyd's death has become more than a rallying cry to end police brutality and racism. It's become an excuse to be violent and loot. And this is much worse than what happened with Rodney King, as I mentioned. And why is it worse? It's worse because the lockdowns have stripped us of some of our humanity. So when you add the Minneapolis police killing of George Floyd to us being on edge and ready to burst into flame, you know, burst into rage, like road rage, that explains why the riots, the eruptions, are so much more serious and violent and savage, primitive, than it was before with Rodney King. And, you know, there have been riots also with other cases of police brutality. But this is the worst. And clearly it's because of the underlying sensitivity, the underlying Corona rage was the tinder that made George Floyd's murder erupt in flames. So, you know, the problem is, first of all, this barbaric violence and looting isn't going to bring back George Floyd. Not only that, but it is not going to make the police less brutal. In fact, it's going to do the opposite, because now the police are much more frightened that they're under attack. I mean, there have been over the years, in protest, burning of police cars, killing of cops, because of get back at cops, police, for various incidents of police brutality. So, you know, it's amazing that we have police altogether, that people are still applying to be a policeman. Poor woman, a police officer, because of all the danger that they are now in, much more than ever before. I mean, just over the years, there has never been a time when police officers and sheriffs, any officers of the peace, have been in as much danger as they are today. Even before the George Floyd incident, even before that, it has been increasing, gradually increasing over the last, Rodney King was in the early 90s. So, since then, it really hasn't manifested as much until maybe the last 10 years. Because each case of police brutality makes people more and more angry. But now the thing is, if police are going to have to be more on their guard, more in expectation of danger that there will be more people trying to kill them, and particularly Black people. You know, it's the whole Black Lives Matter movement that has fueled all of this. Although certainly, you know, there are many instances with other minorities, police brutality with other minorities, but still, it is primarily the Black Lives Matter movement that has been the loudest in terms of protests. So, of course, when a police officer sees a Black person or goes to arrest a Black person, and even possibly, undoubtedly, going to arrest George Floyd. I mean, there were so many. There were like three. I think there were at least five police officers involved with that arrest. And why is that? There were three people in the car, in George Floyd's car, but two of the people were not, I don't think they were arrested, and certainly nothing violent happened with them. They were walked over to the side. But so when a police officer goes to arrest a Black person, they are already consciously or unconsciously more frightened because they know that it is likely that this person has animosity towards them because of all the things that have been in the media. And really these people, Black people and other minorities are frightened too. So when you have two people or more who are frightened and it's a potentially explosive situation, there is more of a risk of violence. So with what is happening now, it is not going to work to make the police less brutal. They are going to feel like they need to use excessive force, more force, to protect themselves. The police are going to feel that way. So this really is not, it's unfortunate that this well-meaning, that many of the people who were well-meaning and just there to protest, that their protest turned into anarchy. Well, we need to take another break. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about, has the American psyche reached its tipping point? So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. We're talking about rioters or terrorists. Do we need a scoreboard to tell the players? Well, I said that I was going to talk about, has the American psyche reached its tipping point? Pandemic, police brutality, and protests run amok. Yes, just when we were thinking that it was relatively safe to come outside and try to deal with the new normal and, and the uncertainty, but we were beginning to venture outside. We now have a new abnormal, and so abnormal that to me, the things that people are doing, first of all, are regressed and primitive, the violence, but also borderline psychotic and worse than ever before. And as I was saying earlier, I think a large part of this has to do with how coronavirus has caused us to lose our humanity. Not the virus itself, of course, but the rules, the mandates, the strict mandates, draconian mandates in terms of the lockdowns that mayors and governors have enacted. And so people are tired of being told what to do by people in authority. And especially because a lot of people in authority, whether it's the mayors or the governors or, the scientists who have been proven wrong time and time again, people are sick of listening to people who obviously don't know what they're talking about. So then, of course, just the actual isolation of being in lockdowns, whether you were with a family member or just by yourself, even if you were with family members, there is still some stress that comes from being in lockdown, being isolated, They did studies on this before coronavirus ever came about, and they found that just being in isolation causes physical problems like heart attacks and strokes, and psychological problems like weakening your immune system, and anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts and things like that. So all of this, you know, we've been in, depending upon where you live, you've been in lockdown for weeks, some number of weeks, and this has definitely had an impact. And plus, now that we're going out into the world and we're being told we're being told to wear masks, we're being told to keep social distancing, we're being told not to shake hands, not to hug. I mean, we need handshakes and hugs to survive in a civilized way. And if you ever had any doubts about that, certainly what is happening now with all of these riots and looting and so on, people running amok, acting like savages and not civilized people, you can see this has been sort of an example, an experiment of what happens to people when they're deprived of human contact, other than the humans who you may have been isolated with in your house. So these protests, as I was saying, have changed from trying to take stand against police brutality to having a free-for-all of savage violence, unabated looting. I mentioned Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills, but and my office is in Beverly Hills, by the way, so this literally hits home, so to speak. You know, and my street was one of the streets that they were mentioning as needing more police protection. Certainly, I haven't seen videos of my street, which is kind of in the center of Beverly Hills, but I did see, it's very near, right near Rodeo Drive, and I saw videos of that, and it was shocking. They are shocking. How nobody is, where were the police? You know, I think they were afraid to do something to stop the people on Rodeo Drive who were smashing store windows and being violent and grabbing things and chanting, "Eat the rich, eat the rich." We're talking about cannibalism, folks. I mean, that's how crazy things have gotten. So it's not any longer having to do with Black Lives Matter or George Floyd. I'm mad as hell at the world for causing me or other people to lose their jobs and die. Maybe my loved ones, you know, I mean, people are thinking that they're mad as hell because people have been losing their jobs, maybe themselves, maybe their loved ones died and so on. It's been a very difficult time with coronavirus. And for depriving me the promised American dream. That's why people are mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. So they are venting all of their pent-up hostility against anyone and everyone. You know, it's like they don't care, they don't know, and they don't care what these people around them stand for anymore. It's not really, I mean, other than the police who are in uniform or in cars, they are just lashing out at whoever is around. And I mentioned about the police car in New York City. That was, you know, that's a very shocking example of how, you know, if you taunt and you threaten police enough, at least this policeman, you know, finally couldn't take it anymore. And so, also another example of how and why, well, I don't know about why, but how, another example of that you can see just how crazy we have all become, how the American psyche has reached its tipping point. There are other videos that of journalists in various cities, Minnesota, you know, Minneapolis, DC, the different cities where journalists representing different news outlets, and it wasn't that this was against any one particular news outlet because the police couldn't even really see I mean, they were already acting towards them in a very violent way before they cared or knew what news outlet, and there was all different news outlets. So it wasn't, that wasn't the point. But these journalists were trying to do their job, you know, videotaping and recording and what was going on. And the police didn't want them to do that, apparently. And they treated them as if they were thugs in the street, just like the thugs that there were in the street. And you could, I mean, but it was just so, it is so amazing that they would do this, even though the journalists, I mean, some of them were newspaper, but some of them were television. And so there were cameras rolling. I mean, the police were using force on them, spraying them with pepper spray, hitting them with plastic bullets, physically being violent with them, I mean, touching them, pushing them down on the ground, that kind of thing, even though they knew that this was on camera. It's just, it does not make any sense. And it just shows how crazy this whole situation has gotten. And now, on top of that, we have some celebrities who are on the internet saying, defund the police, take the money away from the police. Now, of course, it's easy for these celebrities to say this because they live in big mansions with lots of land protecting them, their house, and high fences and private security. They could have their own security. They don't need the police. Unfortunately, for the majority of people, we do still need the police. And yes, there are obviously too many bad apples in police forces all over the U.S. Absolutely. But like the one who killed George Floyd. But it just makes absolutely no sense to think about defunding the police altogether, because who's going to protect us from criminals and from terrorists? They don't really seem to think about that, you know, that in fact, besides that, there are still in the world just regular old criminals, you know, robbers and things like that, and terrorists. I mean, terrorists must be looking at this and seeing, you know, hanging up there, retiring. Radical, I'm talking about radical Islamist terrorists. Radical Islamist terrorists are thinking of retiring because we're doing this to ourselves. The first, the coronavirus, and then this, the rioters and looters and the police. We're destroying ourselves. Now, I'm saying that somewhat tongue in cheek in the sense that radical Islamists are not going to retire. They are going to continue, you know, trying to destroy us, overrun us, enact Sharia law. But they are looking at all of this and thinking, huh, look, if this is all making Americans and Westerners in general, you know, at least in terms of coronavirus hitting Westerners like in Europe and so on, but coronavirus and these riots are making Americans more vulnerable to our being radical Islamists, coming over and taking over. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.